Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. To get involved, send email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. Follow TA_weekly on Twitter or call 260-2-ASK-TAW. And hello, this is episode 120 for December 24th, 2011. I'm Aaron.
I'm Rodney.
And this is For the Children.
Aww.
Yes, for the children. Hello, everyone. Christmas Eve it is.
Yes, and what are we doing? A podcast.
Wow, we are so boring. But we felt that it was important to get out a podcast or else we may never do one again. Life has been dealing us some strange blows and we've been unable to get them out when we should. And so this is a good time to kind of catch up.
Yeah, it's been a little bit ridiculous the last 2 months. Work schedules. Last week, your work schedule was killing us.
It was killing me.
This week, I came down with a cold, which has been driving me insane.
Thus, the little bit nasally tone
at
the moment. And some sleepless nights. And you've been trying to fight it off and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so it's just been craziness. And so.
And two, we're not going anywhere for the holidays until tomorrow.
Yeah.
Christmas Day. So
Christmas
that's
Day.
A good thing.
Yeah. We weren't sure there for a while, and then it turned out that it's just going to be Christmas Day. But okay. Well, anyway, we will first begin by saying hello to our listeners and thanking those
hello.
Of you who sent in listener mail.
Hello.
Hello, you.
Hi.
Anybody out there?
Yep.
Yeah, we would like to thank the team from Four Syllables for sending a compliment to us. Thank you so much. We love them. They were excited that we did a tip on their website, and I hope some of you will find their resources helpful. And Marcus sent in a couple of ideas for tips. Thank you so much. And Brian Watson, as usual, pointed us to some good stories that we used for consideration. And let's see. Then we also had an email from Stephen Parker elaborating a little bit on the Gold Wave preview tip, basically listing the shortcut keys for the preview. You can use F4 and F8 to play and stop, respectively. So, in a nutshell, that was our listener mail.
Well, hot diggity.
Uh-huh.
Always good to have listener mail.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you are doing what?
I was waiting for a ding.
Oh!
And now we jump into some security news. As with all Christmas cheer, there is always a new Adobe Flash zero-day vulnerability that is going around. A Russian security firm, Intevydis.
Something like that.
Yeah, Intevydis discovered and published information on a vulnerability that is marked as the VD_Adobe_FP, which is circulated in a software app used by professionals to do security. Apparently, that is the Von Disco Step Ahead Edition.
Yeah,
I don't know. Didn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense. Adobe has requested some information from the Russian firm to try and get more information so that they can try and do some sort of a code change for that. No information or timeline is there. So you could encounter more Flash issues.
Ooh, yay.
The bane of all existence.
Mm-hmm.
In other things, Microsoft released on Patch Tuesday this week 13 bulletins resolving 19 issues. There was supposed to be a 14th one, but they've delayed that until January, I believe, because of an incompatibility with some other software. This Patch Tuesday that occurred earlier in December was noted because it squashes the Dooku threat, which we've mentioned a couple times on here. There is a Windows patch for that. That fixes the vulnerability that exists in the Windows TrueType font engine, letting hackers access the Windows kernel and run shell code to install programs and other said things.
And if you haven't downloaded your updates, so they're not set to auto update, please do that. As many of these bulletins were marked critical, and
they are for Windows 7, yes, XP, Vista, server,
all across the board.
Yeah.
And the Dooku one, and I think a couple of the others require a reboot.
Yeah, there are four of the patches that actually require a reboot. So, yay, reboot.
Yay.
One thing that will be changing in January is that Internet Explorer will be auto-updated.
Yep.
So if you have Microsoft updates to automatically occur on your computer, you will not even notice it. This is an attempt to get the 8% of the world that is still using
Internet Explorer 6
to get off of the frickin' thing. So hopefully those computers are auto-updating.
They will be in January.
Yeah. So if you are on Windows 7 or Vista, you will be bumped up to Internet Explorer 9. If you're on XP, you will be bumped up to IE 8. So that'll be coming in January to try and help with things.
Yay. Google has pulled 22 apps from the Android marketplace.
Yeah, these were touted by Lookout Media Services or Security over in the EU for being, now, I hadn't heard of this, but Android roof fraud or SMS toll fraud applications, where it tricks people into sending text messages to toll charges. So you might send a text message to a number and it will actually charge you $50 on your card. The biggest areas that it was hitting were in the EU and the US.
And Eastern Europe, too. Yeah.
So that is a big thing. Also gave Google a little bit of criticism because they are not inspecting apps like Apple is. It was kind of interesting because I saw a few people on Twitter just in the last couple of days saying that, oh, well, Apple's so much better than Android because of the fact that Google can just wipe apps off of your phone at a moment's notice, you know. And several people quickly chimed in and said, well, Apple can do it. They just haven't had to yet.
Right. And there's no comment from Google about whether they're actually using that to eliminate these apps or not.
Yeah. So you might want to be a little bit careful on what you do and what apps
you
download.
What you install. Yeah.
And I guess the biggest thing that one of these apps was related to is horoscopes. So
You
can get your daily horoscope. Well, you had to text a number to a particular to subscribe, I guess. You know, mm-hmm. one of those things like you see on television. Hey, you want to get groovy ringtones? Yeah. Text this number and we'll send you one. You know,
God.
I can see probably the inexperienced tech folk, inexperienced, technically challenged, falling into
that trap.
Now, someone that should have probably known a little bit better as far as secure passwords and thing is Lady Gaga.
Uh-oh.
Her Twitter and Facebook account was hacked a few weeks ago, but it was quickly restored to normal. Hackers targeted her because of her millions of followers on the two social networks. The tweets and Facebook posts that were going out saying, hey, come over to this website, sign up, and I'm giving away new iPad 2s, special Lady Gaga editions. And then people would go to it, they would log in, mm-hmm. they would have all their information copied over to these hackers. So it's just one of those things that you don't want to get caught up in. If it's too good to be true, it's probably
not true.
Yeah. Now, talking about something that's not true, a blogger in Montana, Miss Crystal Cox, had to pay $2.5 million in a judgment because of her defamation of character.
Yes, and she was very upset with an attorney who is a partner in a financial law firm in Oregon, and she created websites that I forget the name of the law firm.
It was Kevin Patrick was the lead attorney,
right.
And it was Obsidian Finance Group. So
she was creating websites like obsidianfinancesucks.com to try and basically just smear his character and the law firm's character all over the place. She styled herself as an investigative journalist, but She was found not to be protected by the Oregon laws or the national laws that apply to journalists. In Oregon, you can be protected if you are a journalist affiliated with a traditional
media outlet.
Application,
yeah,
media outlet, like a newspaper or a television station or something.
Yeah, let's see. What did it say? Newspapers, magazines, yeah. Periodicals, books, pamphlets, news services, wire services, mm-hmm. all of these old-fashioned things
yeah.
that you don't get to consider as real media.
Right. And also, the judge pointed out that those old-fashioned things aside, she was trying to claim she was a journalist, but they listed a whole bunch of reasons why she should not be. And among them were simply the fact that she has not attended any places that give those kinds of degrees, that she does not use correct spelling and editing techniques when she writes. She doesn't write according to, I guess, journalistic standards. And she also, underneath the table, tried to propose to this law firm that for a little bit of money, she could provide them with help with their publicity. So essentially, she was trying to tell them that if they paid her a little bit of cash, her lawsuit would go away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So they asked for $10 million and they were awarded a $2.5 million judgment.
Yeah.
So,
which just sent a lot of bloggers into ridiculous areas because, I mean,
yeah.
anybody can create a blog, but they may consider themselves a journalist, but I mean, really, you're just a blogger, you know?
Yeah. Really? That's all it is.
So I don't know where podcasters fit into that.
I think probably similar.
Yeah.
Similar standards.
So maybe in the next year or so, people will actually come up with a new method for describing journalists. Yeah, it's kind of difficult for bloggers who haven't been to journalism school to do to know to do things like contacting the other side of the story, you know, to sort of get their comments, to sort of give you the this and that mm-hmm. side of things. Probably be more to come on that.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it was pretty, it's still sometimes, I mean, pretty self-explanatory. There is a big difference between just giving your opinion and actually defaming someone. There's
yeah.
a big difference between the two things. And
yeah.
she was pretty clearly out of line with that.
Yeah, and the fact that she was trying to extort them for money
yeah.
to promote
yeah.
them.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, yeah, you're a piece of crap, but, you know, if you give me a few $100,000, I'll be glad to help promote your business.
Exactly.
I don't think of you as being that bad
mm-hmm.
if you pay me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll like anybody if you pay me.
Exactly.
Oy.
And let's see. Well, I think this deserves. The Federal Trade Commission and other worldwide agencies are trying to sue Santa Claus.
And this could possibly be related to.
How do I get to Charlie Grant's house?
Here are directions to Charlie Grant's house.
Is it cold in Santa Fe, Raleigh, Cleveland tonight?
Really cold, down to about 14 degrees.
Find that email with the naughty or nice list.
New message from Mrs. Claus. Go easy on the cookies.
How does the rest of my day look?
You have 3.7 billion appointments.
That is, of course, the new Apple iPhone commercial that is like kicking the butt of everybody else as far as cell phone carriers.
That is so funny. But the FTC in particular is claiming that Santa is violating the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act because he has lists of children's favorite toys. He is using those lists to track children. He is tracking their other data to determine whether they are naughty or nice. He is selling this data to third parties so that they can fulfill children's wishes. And he is doing all this creepy, crazy stuff, and they do not want him to continue with these activities, so they are trying to fine him $2 million. The EU has stepped in, and they are claiming that Santa is violating some of the EU privacy standards by storing data about children on server farms at the North Pole. California has chimed in with its own bit, saying that Santa is not adhering to the state sales tax and so should be fined. People in Germany are trying to get Santa off of Facebook. And in the UK, the UK is threatening to have Santa extradited if he comes down any English chimneys this night on Christmas Eve.
You know this had to happen at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody would have to be looking out for the children.
Oh, yeah. And we have an article in our show notes that actually goes into more detail about what the politicians in the U.S. are saying about this scandal here. And it's just absolutely hilarious. And that is only the half of it.
Yeah, it's quite a good read. Jeff Jarvis of Buzz Machine posted this article. So that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty good.
I mean, only thing they didn't accuse him of was like child pornography or trafficking or something.
And Herman Cain points that out. He said, gee, compared to me, Santa Claus is really, sexually creepy with all these kids on his lap and stuff. And why didn't they accuse him of that?
I mean, did anybody check to see if his name is Jerry Sandusky?
Oh, God. Hmm. Dear, that wasn't...
Too soon?
Oof, that's too soon for that.
Yeah, okay.
Too soon.
We'll scratch that.
Too soon.
Itch.
AT&T has admitted defeat. Finally.
They no longer have a dancing partner in T-Mobile.
Nope. Their dancing has stopped. The Justice Department here in the U.S. was kind of getting on their backs about this merger and saying it was violating antitrust laws and all this kind of thing. Well, they finally said, okay, we're not going to do it anymore. And they're going to have to pay T-Mobile $3 billion to break up the merger.
Yeah, apparently,
billion.
Yeah, apparently they agreed if the deal fell through to pay them $3 billion.
As well as $1 billion for the spectrum rights. So a total of $4 billion.
Yeah. So probably the happiest people this time of year is going to be Sprint.
Yeah.
Because T-Mobile is still the little guy, and T-Mobile will now have $4 billion to enhance their system. So that's probably a good thing for mm-hmm. them. It gives the little guy a little bit more competition. It is still unclear as to whether there will be some sort of a... revisit to this. AT&T is still trying to work on ways to bolster their spectrum in the U.S. because, as everybody knows, AT&T is still the worst internet cell phone carrier as far as quality of calls. As far as internet service, they're still the fastest compared to Verizon, who is still around and trying to work on their LTE service that is really quick.
Mm-hmm.
So... I don't know where this will end up
$4 billion.
Yeah, that's a lot for.
Yeah, you were like,
stiffed.
No, it's million. I said, no, it's billion. There's a B there.
Egad.
Man.
I guess if you've got a lot of money from probably all of those text plan fees.
Yes.
I love getting that every couple of weeks here. I'll get a text message saying, you know, for $20 a month, you can upgrade your texting plan to family unlimited. That way you can have unlimited texting.
I could probably count on my two hands the number of text messages I send each month.
Yeah, we're still hanging on to that 200 messages a month thing.
Yeah.
Because we don't do it. And now that the iPhone has iMessages, it makes things a little bit easier.
Yep.
Because I actually have people that I work with that I text quite a bit. And they're on iPhones, too.
Yay!
So it's like win-win.
Mm-hmm. Moving right along, and speaking of iOS, iBooks has gotten an update.
Why, yes, they did. And it's a little bit of accessibility news, too, because iBooks now gives you night reading mode so that you can change it from white background and black text to the reverse. So you can set it to have a black background so that it's easier to read in low light, dark areas. So that's a good thing. They've also introduced new fonts, as well as a better note-taking support and better fonts for when you are actually trying to highlight things. So
nice.
That's a good thing.
Nice. Now, AppleViz has introduced a Hall of Fame. AppleViz, of course, is the AppleViz.com, the visually impaired iOS community. Has created this list, this website, blogs, forums, and app guides all about iOS and accessibility. And their Hall of Fame is going to feature two apps per month whose developers appear to work hard to make sure that their apps are accessible to those with visual impairments. And December is the first month that this is going on, so they're going to put 8 apps into the Hall of Fame to kickstart this. And if you are a registered Apple Viz user, you can vote on which ones you would like. You get choices every month. And this month, there are 18 choices. These include such apps as Downcast, Dropbox, Bookmark, all these kinds of things. I can do it. Go ahead, read.
Okay, Ariadne GPS. That was the little map thing.
I still don't understand that one.
Yeah, I haven't used that one. Dropbox, which we use. Downcast app, which is, in our opinion, the greatest
podcast app ever.
Yes, and the developer is very conscious of accessibility and willing to help out when things are not working correctly. Dragon Dictation, Feedler RSS Reader, iBlink Radio by Saratech for your podcasting and audio listening, iBooks, which we just talked about, IM Plus Pro, a game, I guess, is King of Dragon Pass. Hadn't tried that one. LookTel Money Reader, which we've talked about a lot before, got a lot of acclaim earlier in the year with their money identification, which at that point I believe was $2. Now it's $10. Popper Sangre, whichever game. Went and purchased that one.
No, because King of Dragon Pass and Papa Sangre are like expensive games.
Yeah, it's like $6. $6
and
like
Papa Sangre is like 10 or something.
Yeah, you can watch occasionally and see Papa Sangre on sale for, I think I've seen it as low as maybe $2, but I didn't catch it when it was. Mm-hmm. Read to Go, which is your
Bookshare.
Sendero Look Around, which is
it's kind of a subsidiary of the Sendero GPS app.
Yeah.
It specializes, I think, in points of interest.
Yeah. The addicting and frustrating Stimstupper game.
Oh, God.
Tune In Radio Pro, which is our pick for listening to internet radio and other podcasts and streams.
Fabulous.
Which you can actually get.
Mushroom FM.
Yes, you can get Mushroom FM, where you can hear the Melting Pot Show on Sundays from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Exactly, and the Christmas Eve Melting Pot Special at 8 p.m. Eastern this evening.
Yes.
Yes.
Which, once you hear this, you probably will have already missed it, but you will be able to find the archive on our website, techaccessweekly.com.
Mm-hmm.
TuneIn Radio even has now police scanners.
So that's right.
So if you type in, say, Raleigh, North Carolina or something, you can actually find a police scanner for the area. Tweetlist Pro for your Twitter needs. Hadn't tried that. I tried the free one and didn't really like it, so I didn't like it either. I didn't pay the $3 for that one, and they never seem to run it on sale. So what's the deal with that?
Mm-hmm.
And the final one on the list is VizWiz.
I haven't really tried that, but it's the identification app that uses a combination of computer algorithms and crowdsourcing to identify objects in your immediate vicinity.
Oh, so it has nothing to do with CheeseWiz?
No.
No.
No, that's what it does. Hmm. And so, that's fantastic. And I'm not sure which ones will win, but my personal votes are Downcast and TuneIn Radio.
Yes.
So,
probably the iBlink. If
I had to pick two.
Yeah.
Because those people are not, they don't aim to develop for voiceover, with voiceover users in mind. They're just mainstream people and, spoken with them, and they are very willing to work with the voiceover. So those would be my two.
Yeah, that's probably Tweetlist Pro, TuneIn Radio, and the Downcast.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Dropbox. And Dragon Dictation is kind of in that category, too, as far as not being set up kind of like LookTel saying, hey, we're going to be a money identifier.
Right. Right.
So that's kind of a good thing to recognize.
Mm-hmm. Moving right along with more accessibility news. Special Learning has released an iOS app. I think it's for the iPhone and iPod Touch. I don't think they have a version for the iPad. It is for those with autism spectrum disorder and those needing augmented alternative communication help. And basically, it's similar to the Proloquo to Go app. By another company. And it has basically pictures of things, and people can, touch the picture and, you know, like of an apple or something to say that they want an apple. And this app is interesting because you can actually customize it with, it's got pictures and vocal prompts and things, but you can put your own in. It has a dashboard where you can go into it, I guess, on the website and insert your own customized pictures and voice clips into the app and update the app on your child or your family member's iDevice.
Yeah, and if you know anybody that's dealing with somebody with this kind of disability, you might mention it because a lot of people do not like the ProLoquo to go because I believe it's like $190
it's really
or something.
Expensive. Yeah.
This one is a little bit more limited in what you can do and how extensive it is, but it's only $40.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be something to toss out there. Granted, I don't know how easy it would be for someone with that kind of disability to use something small like an iPod Touch.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
Maybe for older children, you know, but maybe little kids, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Not sure about that. Speaking of apps, the Vodafone Foundation has its awards for mobile accessibility this year, and it gave out 4 different awards for mobile applications that are helping the disabled and elderly. In the mobility category, there was an app called Wheel Map, which showed people who use wheelchairs where accessible buildings and locations were in their immediate area. Help Talk was in the well-being category, and this is an app, I guess, sort of similar to the learning, the apps we were talking about earlier, except it's a little more icon-based. It's not so much picture-based. It has icons in it that will help you say things like, I'm thirsty, or I need to do such and so, and it's especially designed for people who have strokes, who have had strokes and other sort of debilitating conditions and are having trouble remembering how to speak. Zoom Plus was in the vision aids category, and this was, it does what it says it does. It helps with magnification on mobile devices. And in the social category, there was Big Launcher, and this actually is a sort of launchpad app for Android devices that helps the elderly and people with low vision. It's sort of an alternative home screen type thing. You can see all of your major programs in real big font, and they have real big buttons that you can touch. So it just brings it, you know, really large and into focus. And so those were the 4 apps that got the award, and they split a 200,000 euro prize between the 4 of them. There is a new touchscreen being developed by the Japanese company Sensig, and it is supposed to be able to let people feel textures. They're trying to develop this. Apparently, the screen generates a very low-level electrical current that is especially designed to adhere to the skin of a fingertip. And if you make the current go in, I guess, different directions, or there are different levels of it, and your finger touches it, it will make a texture, depending on how high the current is and how much friction it generates on your fingertip. Weird. And there's no idea about when this prototype is going to be out there, but it's expected, I guess, within the next few years or so. And I don't like to do prototypes very often because really most of the prototypes we talk about have never come about. But I thought this one was particularly interesting. And when I tweeted it, it got a lot of retweets.
Yeah, a lot of these things are vaporware.
Yeah, they are.
Consider it, you know, but maybe they'll actually have a demonstration at one of the conventions coming up here in January, February, March time period.
Yeah, maybe.
Some folks can actually see that and get a hands-on with maybe a prototype. So, there you go.
Speaking of a new device that's actually out and around, Optilec has released a new magnifier.
Why, yes, they have, and it's very similar to the AI squared iLoView that I reviewed not too long ago. This has a continuous zoom of 1.5 to 18 times magnification, has an 8 megapixel high definition autofocus camera.
And what's the name of this thing, by the way?
This is called the Optilec 5 HD.
Yes.
Compact 5 HD, to be exact. It has a 5-inch screen. It has 16 high contrast colors to reduce eye strain, and has large icons on the menus. I watched one of the videos on it, and with like the iLoView, it has six icons on the menu. And this one, you actually cycle through the menu one icon at a time.
Oh.
So if you're challenged that way. One thing that is different between the iLoView and this is the platform. It raises up and sort of puts it at a 45-degree angle so that you can actually read a lot easier. It's sort of tilted towards you. You can kind of do it with the iLoView by only putting down one of the stands that it was on. So that's kind of nifty. It looks like it's got a little bit brighter light as far as when it's trying to illuminate something. It is around the same sizes. It's 4.5 inches by 3.5 inches and less than 0.9 inches thick. So it's pretty small, about like one of those Android phones that we had mentioned for the iLoView. Do not have a price on that as of yet, but looks pretty good.
Yeah.
The platform does appear to be flat, that it does sit on, which that was one of my main criticisms of the iLoView, was the fact that if you were reading a piece of paper, the little stand would get caught on the edge of the paper. So this looks like it's got a little bit flatter stand to it. So if you're interested, you might want to head over to Optilec.
Optilec.com.
I think is it Optilec USA?
Yeah, OptilecUSA.com. Yes. The UK company Seraproc has been given a patent for its emotional speech synthesis platform. I'm not sure exactly how this company works, but it's been given a patent to further develop speech synthesis voices that have emotions. And it sees that these will become popular in business areas that want to automate their customer service machines, and also in the game playing industry, and maybe even for those with visual impairments. Apparently the voices are better and shinier than the voices that are out now, but I'm not exactly sure what algorithms they use to make it more emotional or whatever. But whatever it is, they finally got a patent on it.
Oh. I wonder if it's more emotional than Julie.
I don't know.
Hey, that was pretty good.
That's so funny.
Ha! There you go.
Yeah.
She's always here. She never goes home.
She never leaves. She's sort of like that Jamie Colby reporter on Fox News.
Yeah, the lady never goes away.
She's always there.
She's always there. She does like the Sunday morning thing, and then next thing you know, she's doing reports during the week. And then she's there at nighttime, too. It's just like, when does this lady sleep?
I know.
Where's the personal life?
Seriously.
Now that we've sidetracked.
Dang.
Microsoft has released officially two apps for Microsoft Office 2010.
Add-ons. Yeah.
As reported by Paul Thurrott over on the Win Supersite blog.
One is for PowerPoint. It is called Stamp, and it allows you to insert captioning into videos in PowerPoint, into slideshows, so that those with hearing impairments can...
Yeah, for video and audio.
Know what's going on. Yeah, video and audio. For Microsoft Word is the Save as Daisy add-on, which allows you to save Office files as Daisy XML files for use on Daisy players and other similar devices, and with Daisy reading software. So they are partnering with the Daisy Consortium to develop that add-on.
Yeah, and I believe we mentioned this back in probably May or June, because they had released it as sort of a beta. So now it's actually officially out and available. In the post for this podcast, there will be a link to the blog post from office.com related to these two issues, courtesy of winsupersite.com.
Yay, Paul Thurrott. The Transportation and Safety Administration is about to launch a disability hotline so that people with disabilities who are traveling and have questions can call and get their questions answered. This hasn't been launched yet. It's set for launch in January. And they're also planning to give extra training to customer service people in the various airlines so that they can recognize when people may be wearing medical devices and when people may be wearing bombs on themselves. They've had some instances the past year where elderly women with, you know, medical harnesses on them were subjected to a strip search to determine what they were. And if the people had known what to look for, they would have known without having to subject these people to that search technique.
Yeah, the TSA here gets a lot of criticism mm-hmm. because they are just not, or they don't appear to be the highest caliber of people trying to protect you.
Yeah, yeah.
A friend of ours, he flies contract stuff, and he said that one time when he went to Washington, D.C., the TSA agents were... they were probably not qualified to work at McDonald's.
Ooh.
That was his opinion of them because Ooh. They were just not able to answer a question, not able to give clear directions or anything. So to That's each their awful. Own, I guess.
I guess.
And maybe they'll decide whether or not blind people have to ride in a wheelchair. I think that was one of the criticisms disability folks give.
Yeah.
That they want everyone to ride in a wheelchair. I still say, as long as they give me a pretzel, one of those big pretzels.
I'll take one of the big pretzels with cinnamon and frosting.
Yeah, there you go.
Speaking of patents, Google has been given a patent for some of the driverless car technology. The specific patent in this case relates to when the human stops and when the auto can take over.
Yeah, so that's kind of a cool thing. It gives you sort of the autopilot feel, right. I guess, kind of like an airplane. Type of thing. The patent also includes things like being able to read QR codes so that it knows where to go. You could show it a QR code for an address or a map or something, and it would go there. It allows for the deciding of where to actually stop when looking at a parking space.
Right.
They would be able to have markings on the ground, and it would know where to stop and start from. So that's kind of cool. Amongst mm-hmm. other things, if you want the BBC News article, you can check the show notes for that.
Yes.
Coming up in January here in the U.S., the biggest spectacle on Earth, known as the Super Bowl, which is the National Football League's real football, you know,
yeah.
wear pads and helmets and get concussions and things. NBC and the NFL are going to actually stream them live on the internet.
Woo!
And I didn't really know this until this article, but NBC has been airing the Sunday night football games live every Sunday.
Huh.
So that you could actually watch them, which will give viewers the opportunity to have real-time stats, different camera angles that they can go to. In addition to the Super Bowl in January, they will also show the wild card weekend for the playoffs as well as the Pro Bowl.
Nice.
Which I don't understand why anybody watches the Pro Bowl because it's just like the All-Star game and it's just like boring.
Plus, well, most sports are boring. So I'm the wrong person to try and explain
that. So that may be a big trend in television. If it's deemed a success and there aren't any hiccups, maybe more events will turn to that. The big criticism of the NFL is, hey, Major League Baseball, NHL, and the NBA stream, you can buy a pass that will actually stream content to, mm-hmm. say, a Roku player or your Xbox or something like that or the internet. But football really hasn't dove into that. So maybe times are a-changing.
Maybe. One other miscellaneous thing that I don't really think deserves a ding. But colleges and universities and businesses have started buying XXX domains.
Yeah, they're trying to keep their name out of the smut game. Because places like Best Buy and Target and Walmart have purchased things like Target.xxx and Best Buy.xxx.
Universities have gotten onto this bandwagon, too.
Yeah, the Kansas University, home of the Jayhawks, have registered, apparently, KUGirls.xxx and KUNurses.xxx.
Hmm.
Well, they put out a calendar, good Lord, it's been probably 8 years ago now, back in probably 2003 or 2004 it was, that was like Girls of Kansas. university. So it was like a fundraiser, mm-hmm. I think, that they had done for the athletics department. So it was like different sports people and cheerleaders and that kind of thing. And next thing you knew, there was a KUGirls.com that was exploiting people stuff. So I guess companies are going to have to protect themselves. I don't really know that you would want BestBuy.xxx to actually be like child porn.
Yeah.
Or something. What were you thinking?
The first of these stories is actually What Were You Thinking? And the second one is just strange and a little bit disturbing. The first story involves a woman in the UK who in 1986, when she was approximately 50 years old, decided to check her tonsils one day because she had a sore throat. So she used a magic marker type pen as a tongue depressor. She consequently swallowed the pen and forgot about it because it caused her no discomfort.
How do you forget about swallowing a pen?
This is what I'm asking. This is my question. How do you forget these kinds of things? So anyway, she totally forgot about it. She went into the hospital a few weeks ago, I guess, for some other procedure not related to the pen. And she was given a CAT scan, and they found this pen was still in her stomach, just a sitting there, just a churning away. They took it out, and it still worked.
Now, that's the twisted part.
Exactly.
You would think that a pen like that would have contaminated or caused some sort of a health issue.
Been broken down by stomach acids.
But nothing. Still works.
It still works. That's really scary and disturbing.
So, yeah. Kind of reminds me of the Simpsons episode where they flashed back to Homer's childhood and he was challenged or whatever to shove crayons up his nose.
Well, we don't need to
go there. And he ended up having one stuck in his head. And during surgery for some issue or whatever, they decided to remove it. And then instead of being stupid, he was actually very smart and well-educated. So it was kind of amusing. That was the first thing I thought of.
Oh, my.
Scary enough.
Well, anyway, I guess the pen still works. That's just crazy.
Yeah. Grandma, where did you write the label for this Christmas package?
Which pen did you use? Never mind. Maybe I don't want to know.
Oh, you shouldn't have.
The second story is just disturbing. About 3,500 birds mistook a snow-covered Walmart parking lot and some other snow-covered areas around southern Utah within a 30-mile radius, to be water, and plummeted to their deaths and or injuries.
Yeah, and it was in multiple locations. It was like a Walmart parking lot, a football stadium. Just, you would think that, okay, they all crashed in the same place, but no.
Multiple locations. And apparently it was at night. They were grebes, and they don't have very good night vision, but they migrate at night, which... that's kind of weird, but anyway.
That doesn't make any sense.
Whatever. they all thought that, I guess because of the way the starlight reflected on the snow, that it was water. They couldn't tell down from up and basically crashed into the parking lots. 1,500 of the birds died. Approximately 2,000 of them have survived. They were brought in to the wildlife control and were placed in water, I mean, like in ponds and reservoirs around the area, and apparently are recovering. There isn't a lot that people can do to help birds heal from wing injuries and things, but their bones heal pretty quickly. So the best they could do for them was put them in water and let them recover, and then maybe they'll migrate south after they recover.
Yeah, so I guess I guess birds are terrified of thunderstorms. Go figure.
And then, earlier in the year, there was also a mass crash landing of red-winged blackbirds in Arkansas.
Yeah, that was back in January of this year. 4,500, I believe, died.
Poor birds.
Yeah, that's just...
And apparently the increase in this kind of thing has really... it's really gone up over the past 10 years or so.
I wonder what the difference is.
I don't know. They were scared by the loud noises. The red-winged blackbirds, I think.
Okay.
And in other cases, it's the... starlight, there's more air pollution, and so the starlight is less.
Oh.
I don't know. I was reading the article. It was really interesting. You can find it in the show notes. And they talk about possible causes of this phenomenon.
Huh.
So, in any event, this madness that you've been listening to is Tech Access Weekly episode
120.
To get the stories we talked about for this episode, go to delicious.com/techaccess/120. And if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, I am Aaron Edgar.
I'm Rodney Edgar.
And if you would like to check out The Melting Pot, you can do so on Mushroom FM at 7 p.m. Eastern on a Sunday evening. Not tomorrow, but coming up at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, we've got to get you a little bit more show exposure this week because you're like 3 episodes away from...
And 100.
100.
Exactly.
So it'd be awesome to have 100 as the New Year's Day version.
Yes. Yes.
Yep, proving once again that we have no lives because you'll be doing a Melting Pot show on New Year's Day.
Oh, my God.
What's sick and twisted about that?
A lot.
I know.
A lot. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yes, happy holidays.
All that kind of thing.
If you don't celebrate any of those, you can delete where necessary.
Yeah. And have a nice new year. We will be back later.
And hopefully we'll be more consistent.
Yeah. Hopefully after the holidays, life will become somewhat normal.
Yeah. And you never know. We may have a special episode coming out for the holidays.
Perhaps.
Don't know
Perhaps.
Yet. We're still debating. Mm-hmm. Granted, it's a last minute thing that we're still debating.
Yeah, well, that's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is going to wrap it up. We will see you at some point soon.
Yes. So, happy holidays and bye-bye.